The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from a couple of emails and various websites, beginning with an email I got yesterday from Disability Rights North Carolina. Share your feedback. Disability Rights North Carolina, DRNC, wants to know what you think. Every year, DRNC asks disabled North Carolinians and their supporters to tell us which legal issues they would most like us to work on. From now until August 16, 2026, DRNC invites you to give us your opinion on our advocacy goals, called Targets, for 2027. Your feedback informs us about how to use our limited resources to tackle the most widespread legal problems. Please fill out our survey today and share widely with the disability community, especially disabled people. Your voice matters. Give feedback on DRNC's 2027 targets-DRNC hot link on that email. Join us to celebrate Disability Pride Month. This July 26th marks the 36th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, being signed into law. The ADA is a U.S. civil rights law enacted to prohibit discrimination against individuals with disabilities in employment, public services, public accommodations, transportation, and telecommunications. The law was strengthened by the ADA Amendments Act of 2008, which expanded the definition of disability and broadened protections for covered individuals. Each July, Disability Pride Month is dedicated to raising awareness, visibility, and acceptance of people with disabilities. It is an opportunity for disabled people and their allies to come together to celebrate our achievements and resolve to continue working to realize the promise of the ADA and a more just, inclusive society where everyone can thrive. Join DRNC Saturday, July 25th at the Triangle's 4th Disability Pride Parade. The event took place at Duke Memorial United Methodist Church from 3 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., with the parade starting at 5:30. Celebration activities were held both inside or outside to accommodate all participants. There are further hot links for in case you missed it. DRNC in the news. New plan aims to improve access to services and support systems for people with traumatic brain injury in North Carolina. Posted in the Richmond Observer on July 22, 2026. More than one-third of North Carolina jails have exceeded capacity this year. Published in North Carolina Health News, July 20, 2026. 20 years after DOJ settlement, Durham's West Point on the Eno gets accessibility improvements. Published in the Indy, July 16, 2026. NC budget redirects legal funds to criminal defense away from civil legal aid. Published in Carolina Public Press, July 13, 2026. Inspections show years of chronic problems at Eastern North Carolina jail taken over by inmates. Published on WRAL, June 30, 2026. There's a hot link to read more news. Clicking on the Richmond Observer article, new plan aims to improve access to services and support systems for people with traumatic brain injury in North Carolina. North Carolinians living with a traumatic brain injury will have better access to services and a stronger support system under a new plan from the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. The 2026 to 2029 Traumatic Brain Injury State Action Plan from the Division of Mental Health, Developmental Disabilities, and Substance Abuse Services went into effect July 1, 2026. It was developed through extensive collaboration with people with lived experience, caregivers, providers, advocates, community partners, and the Brain Injury Advisory Council. Other NCDHHS divisions that participated in the plan's development are NC Medicaid, the Division of Public Health, and the Division of Employment and Independence for People with Disabilities. Really listening to those most impacted by TBI was essential to developing strategies that will improve their quality of life, said Kelly Crosby, MSW, LCSW, Assistant Secretary for Mental Health, Developmental Disabilities, and Substance Use Services. Our goal is to create a system of care that allows people living with brain injuries to lead the life they choose, with dignity, while staying in their homes and communities. The state action plan establishes four strategic priorities: better access to services, better support providers and clinicians, better support people with TBI and caregivers, and better equip communities to prevent brain injuries. A TBI happens when a bump, blow, or jolt to the head disrupts normal brain function. These injuries can lead to long-term challenges with memory, emotions, movement, and daily living. TBI can impact anyone, but certain groups are more susceptible, including veterans and active duty service members, people experiencing homelessness, people who have been incarcerated, survivors of domestic abuse, and people who are aging. People living in rural areas who experience a TBI face additional challenges that impact their recovery. Falls are the leading cause of TBI-related emergency department visits, hospitalizations, and deaths in the state. In 2024, NCDHHS data shows 8,260 people were hospitalized due to TBI and 2,668 people experienced TBI-related deaths. More than 32,000 people visited emergency departments for TBI-related injuries. Older adults, 75 and older, are particularly vulnerable to falls that can lead to TBI. One of the first initiatives to come out of the plan is an online brain injury screening and support system. A nationally validated tool developed by Dr. John Corrigan and associates at The Ohio State University. NCDHHS worked with Disability Rights North Carolina to bring this tool to the state. NCDHHS purchased a one-year subscription to the service, which provides a simple, accessible way for individuals age 10 and older to identify possible brain injury-related challenges, offer recovery strategies, and connect with appropriate supports. Supports may include publicly funded services such as Resource Facilitation 1915i and Medicaid services, or other non-Medicaid programs. The $6,500 subscription will allow for up to 5,000 individual screenings per year. NCDHHS can pay for additional screenings if needed and plans to continue subscribing to the service indefinitely. The tool will go live on August 1, 2026. Anyone interested in screening can access the OBISSS anytime independently or with support from a professional service provider, LME, MCOTP, family member, or other natural support. It is recommended that individuals have a support person to assist them through the screening process. NCDHHS will host a webinar July 29 for anyone interested in learning how to use the system providers, TPs, families, individuals with lived experience, general community members, and so forth. The training will be recorded and posted on the TBI webpage as well. Certain providers are required to offer to screen individuals for brain injury as part of their contract with DMHDDSUS. The system will also be available to the general public with a link from the TBI webpage, Brain Injury Association of North Carolina website, and other key websites. OBISSS will aggregate the data to help NCDHHS and providers better understand the community needs and strengthen brain injury awareness, identification, and service planning across the state. Other initiatives in the plan include improving access to community-based services, strengthening the provider workforce, increasing caregiver and peer supports, and enhancing statewide prevention and public awareness efforts aimed at reducing the number of TBI incidents. The plan includes measurable goals and accountability metrics through 2029 to track progress, improve outcomes, and ensure North Carolinians living with TBI have greater opportunities to access services and live successfully in their communities. From AFB.org, AFB webinar, Bridging the Rehab Gap, posted July 22, 2026 at noon. Bridging the Rehab Gap, Agency and Client Perspectives on Vision Rehabilitation Service Barriers for Older People New to Vision Loss. Featured findings from our latest research on aging with vision loss. AFB's research team, led by Dr. Arielle Silverman, presented preliminary results examining what adjusting to vision loss looks like for older Americans, which services they use and which they do not, and how those services can be improved. We were joined by Jennifer Ottowitz, Older Blind Specialist for the Older Individuals Who Are Blind Technical Assistance Center, OIB-TAC. There's a hot link for that. And her name is spelled OTTOWITZ, who helped place our findings in the broader conversation about vision rehabilitation services for older Americans based on the technical assistance feedback of the OIB-TAC receives. Together, we discussed our research findings and what they could mean for older adults and their families, medical schools and associations, aging organizations, policymakers, and public and private agencies that provide vision rehabilitation services. We also explored the key research questions that remain unanswered. Watch our recording at the link below to learn more about how we can improve access to vision rehabilitation services for older adults. Please reach out to research@afb.org with any questions, and there's a hot link to watch that webinar. Now a few updates from acb.org. Missouri withdraws from Texas versus Kennedy, posted July 16. ACB is very pleased to announce that Missouri has dropped out of the Texas versus Kennedy lawsuit, which aims to weaken disability rights by attacking Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, as well as the Supreme Court's ruling on Olmstead versus LC. Now that Missouri has withdrawn, only five states remain part of this lawsuit, fighting against the rights of people with disabilities to live and receive care in their communities. Only a fraction of the 17 original states remains in the lawsuit, and almost half of the nine states who filed the amended complaint earlier this year have dropped out so far. Congratulations to the Missouri advocates who have worked incredibly hard to get their state to drop out of this damaging lawsuit. ACB has heard that there may be some additional states which may also be withdrawing from the case soon. ACB will continue to update as we learn more. If you live in one of the remaining states that are part of this case, we strongly encourage you to continue to contact your governor and your state attorney general to tell them they should drop out. The remaining states are Alaska, Florida, Louisiana, Montana, and Texas. Below, you will find contact info for each office. Alaska Governor's Office, 907-465-3500. Alaska Attorney General's Office, 907-269-5100. Florida Governor's Office, 850-717-9337. Florida Attorney General's Office, 850-414-3300. Louisiana Governor's Office, 225-342-0991. Louisiana Attorney General's Office, 877-297-0995. Montana Governor's Office, 406-444-3111. Montana Attorney General's Office, 406-444-2026. Texas Governor's Office, 512-463-2000. Texas Attorney General's Office, 512-463-2100. All Stations Accessibility Program Reauthorization Act introduced. Posted July 23rd. Senator Duckworth of Illinois and Senator McCormick of Pennsylvania recently introduced the ASAP Reauthorization Act in the Senate. This bipartisan legislation would reauthorize the All Stations Accessibility Program, ASAP, grants, which were passed as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law in 2021. These grants provide federal money to states so that they can make accessibility improvements at legacy public transit stations. Examples of such improvements include elevator and ramp installations, as well as accessible wayfinding measures. Legacy public transit stations are those that predate the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, like those found in Chicago and Philadelphia, which often need improvements in order to be fully compliant with the ADA. The companion bill was introduced in the House of Representatives by Representative Jesus Chuy Garcia of Illinois and Representative Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania. ACB proudly supported the All Stations Accessibility Program in 2021, and we are similarly proud to support the ASAP Reauthorization Act today. Senator Duckworth's press release on the bill can be found at https://www.duckworth.senate.gov/news/press-releases/duckworth-mccormick-2021. lead-bipartisan-push-renew-asap-program-helping-make-transit-accessible-for-all. The text of the Senate bill can be found at https://www.gorth.senate.gov/imo/media/doc/asap_reauthorization_act.pdf. From fightingblindness.org, FDA approves Lumova. Lumvoa, a new treatment for thyroid eye disease. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved Lumvoa, a new treatment for thyroid eye disease from Viridian, V-I-R-I-D-I-A-N. Lumvoa joins Tepezza, T-E-P-E-Z-Z-A, as an FDA-approved treatment available for patients with TED, a rare lifelong autoimmune condition that affects the eyes and can worsen with time. Lumvoa's approval means that TED patients and their doctors have multiple potential treatments at their disposal when deciding how to manage symptoms. Thyroid eye disease can be active or inactive/chronic. Active TED typically lasts between 6 to 18 months with severe symptoms that sometimes need surgery. In the inactive or chronic phase that occurs later on, symptoms are less severe. Lumvoa is the first treatment approved for both active and chronic thyroid eye disease. It is also the first approved treatment to show a significant response in reducing and completely resolving double vision symptoms in active and chronic TED. Lumvoa reduces TED symptoms. Lumvoa was tested in patients with both active and chronic TED. Most patients, 70%, with active TED who were treated with Lumvoa experienced reduced eye bulging, which decreased by an average of 3.7 millimeters within 15 weeks of treatment during Phase 3 clinical trials. Lumvoa reduced double vision symptoms in more than half, 59%, of patients, and resolved double vision symptoms in nearly half, 49%, of patients. 65% of patients also experienced reduction of other TED-associated symptoms, such as pain and pressure, swelling or redness of eyelids, swelling of the covering of the whites of the eyes, inflammation of areas in the inner corner of the eye, eye bulging, decrease in eye movement limit, and reduced visual acuity. Results were similar in a separate clinical trial of patients with inactive TED treated with Lumvoa. 57% reduced bulging eyes, 56% reduced double vision, 32% completely resolved double vision, and 55% reduced other TED-associated symptoms such as pain and redness. How treatment for TED works. In people with TED, the body's immune system mistakenly attacks the tissue behind the eyes, causing inflammation and swelling of the muscle and fat behind the eye. This can lead to eye bulging, redness, and watery eyes, among other symptoms, and can cause vision loss if left untreated. Tepezza and Lumvoa, the two currently available treatments specifically for TED, both work by blocking a protein called IGF-1R that contributes to inflammation behind the eyes, although the exact way the treatment works is not yet fully understood. Potential side effects of TED treatments. There are potential side effects and risks to taking Lumvoa. The treatment, which is delivered as 5 IV infusions over 12 weeks, led to infusion reactions in 9% of patients. Lumvoa also has the potential to cause permanent severe hearing impairment or loss. 15% of patients experienced hearing impairment, including ringing in the ears, hearing loss, deafness, and abnormal amplification of their own voice. Menstrual disorders were reported in about 29% of menstruating women treated with Lumvoa, compared to 6% of patients treated with a placebo in clinical trials. Women who may become pregnant should use appropriate forms of contraception during treatment. Lumvoa can exacerbate irritable bowel disease, IBD, in people who have the condition and trigger IBD in some people who do not have it prior to using Lumvoa. Side effects are similar for Tepezza, the other FDA-approved TED medication. Talk to your provider about treatment options. People with TED should talk to their doctors about management and treatment options, which are quickly changing. There's a hot link for that. Viridian, the maker of Lumvoa, is also planning to submit a biologics license application early in 2027 for a separate TED treatment called Elegrobart, Elegrobart, which functions in much the same way as Lumvoa, but is a subcutaneous injection. In addition, Enspryng, Enspryng, an at-home subcutaneous injection treatment for TED from Genentech, was recently granted a priority review from the FDA. The FDA should make a decision by October 26. Visit the Foundation's Thyroid Eye Disease resource page for more information on symptoms, diagnosis, and other potential treatments making their way through the clinical pipeline. From AFB.org, AFB names 2026 Miguel Medal honorees. That's M-I-G-E-L. Contact Tony Stevens, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S, Assistant Vice President Communications, at 212-502-7627 or email tstephens@afb.org. Dateline Washington, D.C., July 17. The American Foundation for the Blind, AFB, has announced that Kevin Lynch, Dr. Mona Mankara, and Dr. Joel Snyder are the recipients of the 2026 Miguel Medal, the highest honor in the field of blindness. From the workplace to the laboratory to the stage and screen, this year's recipients of the Miguel Medal have raised the tide of possibilities available to people who are blind or have low vision everywhere, said AFB President and CEO Eric Bridges. Their collective leadership continues to carry AFB founder M.C. Miguel's mission further into our second century of work, and for this, we celebrate their outstanding achievements. The AFB Miguel Medal was established in 1937 by the late M.C. M-I-G-E-L, Miguel, AFB's first chairman, to honor professionals and volunteers whose dedication and achievements improve the lives of people who are blind or have low vision. The honorees will be formally recognized during a special evening awards ceremony on October 26th at the Downtown Marriott in Louisville, Kentucky, as part of the AFB Leadership Summit. About the 2026 Miguel Medal honorees. Retiring in 2024 from his role as President and CEO of National Industries for the Blind, NIB, Kevin Lynch served for more than four decades in leadership roles that expanded employment opportunities for people who are blind or have low vision. Mr. Lynch joined NIB in 1994 as Vice President of Operations and was promoted to President and CEO in 2008. During his tenure at NIB, he launched innovative career pathways that provided greater opportunity and upward mobility for individuals who were blind through the Ability One program. Under his leadership, NIB expanded its business and leadership training programs, offering them free of charge to blind and low vision employees across its network of associated nonprofits. Mr. Lynch also expanded NIB's business lines into e-commerce and retail establishments on military bases, increasing the number of job opportunities available through the Ability One program. Dr. Mona Mankara, M-I-N-K-A-R-A, is an assistant professor in the Department of Bioengineering at Northeastern University, where she directs the Combine Lab. Having lost her sight at a young age, her scholarly pursuits and accomplishments have broken down misconceptions about people who are blind or have low vision, particularly in the fields of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, STEM. Dr. Mankara is the founder of the Academy of Blind Scientists, which has created a positive narrative that empowers blind scholars while supporting the development of accessible tools and methodologies that advance science. She earned her PhD from the University of Florida in 2015, go Gators, and her research has been supported by the Ford Foundation and the National Science Foundation. Finally, Dr. Joel Snyder has long been recognized globally as one of the leading figures in the development and expansion of audio-described media. A pioneer in audio description, his work and advocacy span more than 45 years. His book, The Visual Made Verbal, a comprehensive training manual and guide to the history and applications of audio description, has long been regarded as the authoritative text on the craft and has been published in seven languages. In 2009, Dr. Snyder, in partnership with the American Council of the Blind, founded the Audio Description Project, which serves as the leading repository of information about audio-described content for film, television, media, museums, and the performing arts. He has led sessions on the subject in more than 60 countries and continues to contribute to the field through his company, Audio Description Associates, LLC, and the Audio Description Institute. Join AFB in celebrating these outstanding leaders at a special awards reception on the evening of October 26 in downtown Louisville, Kentucky. For more details, visit www.afb.org/summit. Founded in 1921, the American Foundation for the Blind creates equal opportunities and expands possibilities for people who are blind, deafblind, or have low vision through advocacy, thought leadership, and strategic partnerships. In addition to publishing the Journal of Visual Impairment and Blindness, JVIB, AFB is also the proud steward of the Helen Keller Archive, which can be accessed on the AFB website at www.afb.org. Also from Foundation Fighting Blindness, one of their beacon stories, Living Life Through My Eyes, My Journey with XLRS by Corey Powers, CoryPowers. Hi, my name is Corey, and I'm 27 years old. I was born with a rare genetic eye disease called X-linked retinoschisis, XLRS, a condition that primarily affects males. It's something I've lived with my entire life. There is no cure, and every day brings new challenges. But I've learned that life isn't about what you can't do. It's about making the most of what you can. For most people, reading a menu, watching TV, cooking dinner, or running errands are simple everyday tasks. For me, they often take extra time, extra effort, and a lot of patience. Some days my vision is better than others, and some days it's a real struggle just to focus on what's in front of me. Living with XLRS also means dealing with frequent headaches, especially when I'm out in the bright sun. Even something as simple as spending time outside can leave me exhausted. But despite that, I refuse to let my condition stop me from doing the things I love. I enjoy hunting, fishing, going to fairs, and spending time outdoors. Sure, there are moments when my vision makes those activities harder than they should be, but those moments make me appreciate every successful trip, every fish I catch, every hunt, and every memory I make with family and friends. One of the hardest parts of living with XLRS is not being able to drive. Living out in the country, transportation isn't something you can take for granted. Every doctor's appointment, trip to town, grocery run, or visit with friends requires planning and depending on someone else. Losing that independence can be frustrating, but I've learned to adapt and keep moving forward. There are days when I get discouraged. There are moments when I wish I could see the world the way everyone else does, but I've realized that focusing on what I've lost only takes away from what I still have. XLRS may affect my eyesight, but it doesn't define who I am. I'm someone who loves the outdoors, enjoys spending time with family, believes in working hard, and refuses to let a diagnosis determine how I live my life. I choose to keep pushing forward even when life isn't easy. Life with XLRS isn't easy. It never has been. But every day I wake up, I choose to live my life to the fullest, appreciate the things I can do, and never stop chasing the life I want to live. To follow Corey's journey with XLRS, check him out on Facebook and TikTok. Well, that's it for this week's Vision News. I hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next week. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.